100.3 WRNB Media Philadelphia. It's old school 100.3. Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, 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 good morning. Welcome to Court Radio. This is Dean Weitzman, and this is your chance to ask legal questions one at a time or comment on what's going on in Philly. We're here for you from 7 to 8 every Sunday morning on 100.3 Old School. That's right. Boom. And in the studio today is our guest host, C.P. Meraki.
Thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. If you get up to your microphone, so will you. You actually have to talk into that thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I got it now.
All right. There you go. Welcome, CP. You know, you're a regular guest host now, having been here twice in 3 weeks. We welcome you back because you did such a great job and you're cheap.
You got that right.
Folks, if you're listening to CP and myself, as I know you are, we're going to be talking about the Borgata Babes today and discrimination in the workplace. That's what's coming up in just a few minutes. But if you have legal questions, any legal questions, you can always get through to CP and I at 215-263-1003. That's right. That's it. 215-263-1003. We'll try to hit your legal question fast and hard and then get you going on your day. So, Mr. Meraki, the Phillies lost again yesterday. What happened there?
It seems to be becoming a pretty regular event. They only won, what, two since the All-Star break?
There you go. Well, you would know. You're right around the corner from the stadium, you know.
I could hear the sighs when I opened the window.
Yesterday was 5-4 in extra innings. And again, they went down in defeat. Well, the good news is that the Eagles are coming up. We're not far off from the preseason openers. When is that, you know?
The first preseason opener is this week, isn't it?
Okay.
Friday night.
There you go. The NFL, we're going to have something else to talk about.
I think there's a game today that people are getting interested in already.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I'm not sure. Yeah, Hall of Fame game, right.
Thank you, Kyle, the man behind the music. Boom. 215-263-1003. All right, before we get on to the Borgata Babes, and we also have a corollary story of Shannon somebody. What's her name?
Melissa Nelson.
Melissa Nelson. Shannon, where did that come from, Dean? Melissa Nelson out of Iowa, who was fired because she was apparently too pretty.
So Shannon Powers will also be on the show. She is the director of communications for the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. So,
all right, your contract.
So you did get that,
all
Shannon.
Right, all right. Right, you know your contract will be renewed. Don't worry.
Okay.
215-263-1003. So other legal things that we were going to talk about today. You know, Apple Computers got sued for price fixing on their e-publications. They're taking on Amazon, I guess, and but they got together with some publishers to try to price fix and knock up the cost of these e-books, the books you download onto devices, and a New York federal judge would have none of it. And so now there's a question whether the federal government's going to be looking over Apple's shoulder on price fixing, not only for their e-books, but for other, you know, perhaps their songs and stuff like that, the Apple Music.
I'm wondering how much of that is hype since the movie Jobs is coming out this week.
You know, it's a good question. What's the Jobs about?
It's about the founder of Apple.
That Jobs. I thought you were like advertising for a full-time position here. 215-263-1003. We got a caller. Let's take him right off the bat. Hello and welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Is your name really Dean?
I'm sorry, hello?
Yep. Who? What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Dan Rilton. I'm calling from Mount Airy.
Dan.
And the reason for my call is I'm calling because some college kids were playing a prank from a home they were renting and threw some buckets of ice and rocks as I'm driving in my convertible and wanted to know what was the legal course of action I can take.
Okay, that sounds like a good question. So you were able to identify the perpetrators. Did you do you have their names and who they are?
Yeah, saw them. And the police were saying that they couldn't lock anyone up because,
Well, the standard for criminal prosecution is much greater than civil. So while the police may not have enough evidence to lock them up, as you say, there may be, if you have some idea of who they were, there may be enough information and evidence to bring a civil lawsuit against them. And what you should do is get the value of the damages estimate and file a civil lawsuit down in a municipal court, so long as the damages don't exceed the municipal court limits, which would be $10,000, $50,000. Really? Are you sure about that? Certain?
I'm not an attorney, but
yeah?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right. CP says that the new limits at in the municipal court are $50,000. I'm going to have to check that out. But nonetheless, I'm sure your damages aren't that high. In fact, I would guess that they're under $10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you can file in municipal court on your own, you know, go down there. You have to get the people's names and addresses at a minimum. You have to know the names and addresses of the people you're suing, and then, you know, the court personnel will help you fill out the paperwork, and you sue them.
And that would be at 34 South 11th Street, the home.
Now, the question, here's the question, the interesting question, Dan, is whether you could sue the college. If this type of behavior were regularly going on in a college dorm or college owned building, and the college didn't take steps to intervene, if they had noticed, if they knew or should have known that this type of action was going on, you may have a cause of action against the college itself, or as a secondary, against the frat. The mothership, so to speak, the head, the national frat of that organization, or the local organization. So if it's like Sigma Alpha Kappa, okay, I don't want to, I'm not, you know, dissing anybody with that, but whatever it is, you could sue either the college or the fraternity if this was something that was happening on the regular. All right.
Awesome.
All right, Dan. Good luck with it, and keep us posted on what happens, okay?
You got it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. 215-263-1003. We were talking about Apple getting squashed, and yeah, you know what? Maybe that Jobs movie is going to have something to do with it. When's that coming out? Do you know?
I think it's this week, and it's... I saw the advertisement the other night on the TV.
Will you be there? Will you go?
I don't think I'll be at the opening.
No? Okay.
Unless, of course, I'm invited.
You know, yeah, I was just thinking about Steve Jobs the other day, how, you know, with all the money in the world, and certainly he had plenty of it, with all the money in the world, you know, your health is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Yep. 215-263-1003. Mr. Kyle says the movie's coming out August the 16th. Well, I'll be there. Yes, I'm interested. Very little I'm interested in, but that's one of the things. Okay, so we got things to talk about, but before we get to there, let's talk to Rob from West Philly. Good morning, Rob, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Okay, and I want to talk to you about my son. He lives in Delaware County, and he was walking late at night a few weeks ago, and he claimed someone was shooting at him. He ran back to the residence, his house. And the police came to the house, and they said they had a report of a shooting. And they found these 80 Xanax pills on the front lawn. So they arrested my son and charged him with 80 counts of possession with intent to deliver. Okay, and, you know, I talked to a lawyer. I had a family lawyer, but at this time I really can't afford him. And I'm wondering, should I trust a public defender to take this to trial, or should I try my best to get a private attorney? Because if the case seems like it is very shallow, you know, the bizarre circumstances around that. So
I know sometimes that the public defenders get a bad rap, but they're actually excellent attorneys. Don't think that just because they're not getting paid, by the client, that they're not going to do their best. I practiced criminal law for 27 years, and I've worked hand in hand with public defenders, and they do an excellent job. I wouldn't hesitate to call one of them.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that, because I don't want him signing anything while I'm not there. You know, I'm not going to be there. Other people in the legal profession are going to have access to talking to him in the meanwhile. But it sounds like a case that's going to have to go to trial. You know, I was talking to a family lawyer. Like I said, I really can't afford him. But what do you think? It sounds like it's something that really has to go to trial. Jury or non-jury.
How old of a boy is he?
He's 27. He's been in a few scrapes with Yates, okay. Delaware County Police. And,
Yeah, it does. If he's 27 and he's been in a few scrapes, I think that and if the police have charged him, I doubt they're going to walk away unless he pleads guilty to something or takes the case to court.
How does he decide whether it's jury or non-jury? That'll be the ultimate decision, I imagine.
Well, you take it one step at a time, and I'd listen to the public defender because they're going to give you some good advice.
Okay. That's refreshing to hear that they're, you know, very professional people. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for calling Gore Radio, and have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Mararkey, we're off onto our hot-button topic. Did you know that down at the Borgata there was a case that came up recently, well, was decided recently, that if you're a cocktail waitress there, actually any employee at all, they could make it a contingency of your job that if you were to gain a few pounds.
7% of your weight, of your initial weigh-in.
Well, you know, for you, that could happen in a weekend.
Could be lunch.
You could be fired from your job.
Just coming back from lunch, I could be fired from my job.
Exactly. You get up, you come back from lunch, what was that movie, The Clumps? You're a little clumpy, and they get you up on the scale, and they say, no, that's it. I don't know what you just ate, but you're gone.
You don't even have to finish your shift.
All right, well, we got Shannon Powers on the phone, Director of Communications from the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. Good morning, Shannon, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I can thank you for coming on, because it is 7 a.m. and it doesn't, that doesn't happen without some work. I appreciate it. Tell us, what is the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission?
The Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission is the state civil rights commission. We enforce Pennsylvania's non-discrimination laws in employment, which is what we're talking about here, and in other areas as well. We also promote equal opportunity in employment, education, housing, and public accommodations, which is businesses and opportunities in the community.
And does the commission actually bring cases or claims to court on behalf of potentially aggrieved parties?
Well, it doesn't really work that way unless a case is appealed. We represent the state's interest in preventing and ending discrimination.
Gotcha. Okay, so you kind of and you have a good idea, I would imagine, Shannon, about what how to define discrimination.
Sure. Well, in some cases, it's a little bit like the definition, that the Supreme Court always gives for pornography. I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it. But there are cases in which it's very, very clear that someone was treated poorly, and they were treated poorly based on one of the many factors that's protected under the law. So can't give you an ironclad definition of discrimination, but basically it's when you are treated differently, and in this case we're talking about on the job, you're treated differently based on one of the factors protected under the law, and that is your sex, your race, your skin color, your ancestry or national origin, disability, or your age if you're over 40.
There you go.
Religion. I left out religion.
Now, we're focusing today on Court Radio on the sexual end of this, sexual harassment, and what constitutes sexual harassment in the workplace. Is there what do you look for in this area to determine whether you think there's a violation?
As far as sexual harassment goes, if someone, there are two kinds of sexual harassment. One is a hostile workplace. Your producer mentioned someone having nude pictures in their office. That would be an example of a hostile workplace where there's something that's offensive to you in a sexual way. Porn in the workplace, comments that are suggestive or have to do with your gender, your appearance, that kind of thing. That's one kind, a hostile workplace where you're made uncomfortable kind of in a sexual way.
Okay.
The other kind would be where there's an expectation of that you do something sexually and your job is held over you. In other words, you are expected to, you're asked to go out with the boss or to have sex with the boss, and you're offered a promotion or you're threatened with being fired, that kind of thing.
Obviously, though, it is not, at least according to the New Jersey Supreme Court, it is not sexual harassment to demand that you remain a certain weight, in a certain weight category or class, or and that we're talking specifically about this case of the Borgata Babes, and the court said that if you take a job as a babe, you better stay a babe, even if the casino admits that that's a difficult standard to meet or to define. So apparently, this is one area where you could say, look, you have to be a certain look to continue maintaining your employment, and if you don't, then that's a basis for letting you go.
Well, sure, that would be sex discrimination. That would not be sexual harassment. And I'm not saying that particular case was sex discrimination, although that was the claim. A comparison might be flight attendants. Years ago, flight attendants were required to be a certain weight. Now, what happens in that case is, one, the questions that an investigation would ask if someone filed a complaint, which you certainly have the right to do, the question someone would ask would be, one, are they treating male and female employees the same way? And two, is there a legitimate, non-discriminatory business reason for that standard? In other words, is there some kind of reason that person has to be a certain weight? And in the case of a flight attendant, for example, there are weight restrictions on flights. There are also, you know, you're working in a restricted space. It's a narrow aisle. You know, you're having to squeeze past people. So those kinds of issues is what an investigation would look at to see whether or not something might be discriminatory.
And, you know, I would say that that's probably gone by the wayside because I've seen some pretty chubby flight attendants in my days. But, you know, you're looking at the police even, right? I mean, if a police officer has to maintain a certain weight because he has to be able to run fast to catch criminals, I mean, that's all legit.
Right, right. You have to look at the qualifications for the job. What does that job require? And in some instances, there are, for example, there are dress standards or a dress code for a job or an appearance code that might include not having long hair. Well, sometimes that's for safety reasons. Long hair might get caught in machinery or, you know, and those things might affect one sex to a greater degree than they do another. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that when there's a legitimate basis for a distinction, and that distinction may not play as well for one sex rather than another, as long as it's a legitimate distinction that has a basis in the business, then it's not going to be deemed to be discriminatory.
Right, right. I mean, the thing always to look at in employment discrimination issues is your qualifications for the job are what matter. Your qualifications, your performance, your your job, not what you look like, what you act like, you know, what you dress like, or your gender, your how you, you know, your religious faith. Any of those issues are not primary unless they're the main thing that's important in your job.
Absolutely. Shannon Powers, the Director of Communications for the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, joins us on the line this morning. We're talking about discrimination in the workplace, and we're going to come right back, Shannon, after this station break.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Welcome back. If you have questions, we've got legal answers. 215-263-1003. 215-263-1003 gets into the studio where CP and I will tackle your legal questions one at a time. 215-263-1003. Hey, I'm joined in the studio with Shannon Powers, Director of Communications for the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. Shannon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You know, we're talking about sexual harassment and discrimination of all sorts in the workplace. I'm wondering, like, you had mentioned, or I was reading somewhere that, some folks were upset because coworkers had, nude pictures in their cubicle. Would that be deemed a hostile work environment?
Well, not just nude pictures, bikini clad pictures also. They don't have to be totally nude.
Go ahead,
if
Shannon.
Something is making your coworkers uncomfortable and it's of a sexual nature, that could be determined to be discriminatory. The factors we would look at is how severe is it, and how pervasive is it? Pervasive, regular, severe? How often does it happen? You know, if you said I'm offended by that and they took it down, that might not be a hostile workplace. It just depends on how severe it is and how often it happens.
Right. And what happens if somebody feels like they are being subject to discrimination or a hostile workplace?
That's a great question. You have a right to work in Pennsylvania free from discrimination. If you feel like that right has been violated and the discrimination has to be based on, you know, one of the factors I mentioned, your race, sex, et cetera, you have a right to file a complaint. And the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission is who would investigate. So you would come to us. You can find us online at www.phrc.state.pa.us. Kind of a long address. You can also Google discrimination in PA in Pennsylvania, and you're going to find us. You can also call in the Philadelphia area, 215-560-2496, and someone will help you talk through your issue.
So, Shannon, would the first step for that person who feels aggrieved to get an attorney and then make the complaint to you, or couldn't they call your department directly and then they would be advised that maybe they should seek legal counsel?
Well, we would never advise anyone to seek legal counsel. You absolutely don't have to have a lawyer. Sorry. to you as a lawyer.
No, that's quite all right.
You don't have to have a lawyer to have your case investigated. In fact, we do have attorneys who help you, but we don't take one side or another. We investigate impartially. So the first step, though, backing up a little bit, the first step should be notify your employer that you're having this problem at work. If you have a human resources office, you probably have, in fact, a sexual harassment policy in your workplace. Look at that policy. Is your employer following that policy? If you think your rights are being violated, first point it out to your employer, to your union, to your human resources department. Make sure that your voice is heard.
Okay.
Should that be done in writing?
The second step there would be, if the problem continues, or if it is a severe problem, your employer is responsible for having an workplace free of discrimination. So you should absolutely, you have a right to file a complaint, and we would always encourage you to do that. But you should go through, document everything first. Write it down. What happened to you? When? Who heard you? Or who saw what happened? And go to your employer with that as well.
discrimination and what defines discrimination, in some ways it's federal. I mean, there's federal statutes on this, but then there's also state regulations and or statutes that vary from state to state. I mention that because in Iowa recently, there was a case that was brought by a woman who was fired because she was allegedly too pretty, and she posed a threat to her employer's marriage. That case has been in the news a bunch. Her name is Melissa Nelson. She was a 33-year-old dental assistant, and she was fired after the dentist she worked for a long time.
10 years.
Dr. Knight believed that she was too tempting to be around the office, and he fired her. She brought a lawsuit, and the Iowa Supreme Court decided that he was well within his rights to let her go. It was not discrimination. I wonder how many men have been fired because they're just too hunky, too buff. Kyle, that's it. You are the picture of buff.
Is that how you got fired from your first job?
Yeah, there you go. So, so they brought a claim saying, look, this is something that really is only going to be experienced by women, and it's sexual discrimination. Iowa Supreme Court, in their infinite wisdom, says, nope, doesn't work here.
Iowa Supreme Court, all-male Supreme Court.
Yeah, yeah. They don't always make the right decisions. But, with something like that, okay, would that be a basis for a claim here in Pennsylvania?
Certainly. You have a right to file a complaint if you think something is discriminatory. If you've been paid less, or fired, or demoted, or not given a promotion, and you think that's based on your sex, absolutely you have a right to file a complaint. And we would look at the particulars of the case.
There you go. So, folks, if you believe that you've experienced a discrimination in the workplace, if you think that your job, work environment is hostile, and you want to get some grievance heard. One more time, Shannon, how do they get in touch with folks here at the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission in Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia, that phone number is 215-560-2496. You can find all of the information about our agency online at www.phrc.state.pa.us.
There you go.
You can also email us at phrc.
Okay.
And if we get any complaints, we could just pass them on to you, right, Shannon?
Sure.
Now, let me ask you one last question before we move along here. If somebody is getting asked out on a date, let's say, by a coworker, they feel like it's a threatening scenario, or like that if they don't accept that it may affect their job, would that be a basis for making a complaint?
Well, you know, the key there is, you said they don't accept that it may affect their job. I mean, if they believe it's affecting their job, if it's making them uncomfortable on the job, if I come to work and I'm constantly focusing on avoiding a coworker who's asking me out constantly or treating me, you know, in some way that's making me uncomfortable sexually, absolutely, I should first bring that to my employer's attention, because the employer is responsible, not the coworker. The employer is responsible for keeping that non-discriminatory workplace. So absolutely, take it to your boss. It may well be affecting your job performance, even if that coworker is not your supervisor and doesn't have any power over your employment.
And probably a good idea to keep a track of those communications to your boss. I mean, if you can document it in email to your boss, that all the better, so that there's no doubt that you raised it and gave your employer an opportunity to correct the situation.
Absolutely. And the really important thing to remember there, too, is, you know, people are afraid of complaining because they think it might affect them negatively. You're also protected from retaliation. If you're retaliated against, in other words, if you're treated negatively, if you're fired or demoted or whatever, because you complained about discrimination, because you either filed a complaint or you sent your boss an email saying this is happening to me, or because you were a witness in someone else's case, you cannot be legally retaliated against. So you can also file a complaint with the Human Relations Commission, telling us that you were retaliated against, and you have a right not to be.
Retaliatory firing. Shannon, stay on the line. We're going to come back to you in a minute while we take some calls from other guests, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Folks, if you're listening to CP&I, you can reach us quickly at 215-263-1003. 215-263-1003. We're talking about discrimination in the workplace, but let's talk to Don from Delaware County, who's got a legal question. Don, welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be aboard.
Uh-huh.
This didn't contribute to your discrimination thing, but it was something that's been on my mind a long time. What rules or laws govern the distribution of the drugs confiscated, drug money, confiscated from these big cartels, the drug cartels? Where does it go? Why not to like a Red Cross organization or someplace towards taxes or schools? Why? And that would take it off of the public.
It's a great question, and one that I don't have a definitive answer for, except to say that my experience has been that some of that money flows back to the police departments that confiscate it. They get like new guns and new vests and stuff like
that.
Hire
new people.
Yeah. It goes back into law enforcement, and not as far as I know, back into the general fund or, for specific, let's say, children's programs or things of that nature. But you know what? That's the kind of thing that, these politicians who spend their time enacting ridiculously silly laws maybe should be focusing on things of more import. And that sounds like a great idea.
I wonder if a lot of it goes unknowingly into the pockets of these politicians.
Well, yeah, I would say it wouldn't be unknowingly. It would be with intent, malice aforethought, but that's just my tainted opinion. Yeah. All right, Don, thanks for calling Court Radio. Great question. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Rich Liu from Philly. Hey, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for accepting my call.
My pleasure.
I had a parcel delivered from an international parcel delivered with some minerals in there, gold particularly so. The parcel arrived when I was not at home, but the address was wrong. It was delivered to my neighbor because the address was wrong, next door. My then neighbor, who signed for it, and never saw her again. So when I called the delivery company, they said their responsibility was only to drop it off and anybody could sign for it. And therefore, I got no redress. The lady relocated somewhere. Couldn't get the police to help me. I finally discovered where she was or where she now lives. And here I stand. How can I be helped? What do I need to do, sir?
Well, first of all, you said, and let me make sure I got this right. The address was wrong. In other words, it was delivered to the address it was addressed to, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So nothing the company did wrong by delivering it to your neighbor because that was the address on the package. So you can't bring a claim against them. They're free and clear. They got it delivered to the right address. Just happened to be not yours. Your neighbor took property which she knew was not hers. And so the only cause of action I see here is against the neighbor herself or himself, whoever it is. And, you know, you would need evidence, i.e., you'd probably need to know from the person who sent the package what was in it, okay? Because you never opened the package. So you
it was written on the back of the envelope, sir. Content was written. That's one unfortunate thing that happened.
Ah, okay. And
the content and the value on the envelope.
Content and value on the envelope, and you have the envelope.
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. So that may be enough evidence. I'm not certain, or it may need to come from an affidavit from the person who actually packaged it and sent it on its way. But with the evidence, assuming you have enough, with the evidence, you could probably bring a claim against your neighbor seek the courts to pay you that which you've lost and what she gained by opening and taking your stuff. It's not criminal, it's civil, and she's going to have assets for you to get assets back from her. I'm not saying that this is going to work to your advantage in that you're going to actually get the money that you're seeking, but that's the way it works here. You file a lawsuit against her and you collect, hopefully, a judgment and then the money itself.
So let me ask you a question. If you ordered something from, say, Macy's and they delivered it to the wrong address, would you instruct your credit card company not to pay that because you never received it?
But it was the wrong address. Here, the package was addressed to his neighbor's house. It actually went to the address on the package. The person who sent it to him from wherever. Where was this package coming from, this package of gold?
From, it was in Liberia particularly.
Liberia, see. So the Liberian who sent it to the Philadelphian, you are from Philadelphia, right?
Yes, I am in Philadelphia.
Okay. Just checking. The Liberian who sent it to the Philadelphian just put the wrong address on there. They could have sent it to your house. You open a package, it's addressed to you, you know, and you took the gold.
So you think a package of that magnitude would have some kind of return receipt requested or have to sign for?
They did sign for it. They know who got it. It's the neighbor. He knows. He's got the culprit. I see. So are you prepared to sue her?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
But that's what I wanted to know because I first thought the company didn't do well by not identifying the person because they didn't even get an identity from the person who signed for this parcel.
Yeah.
They just delivered. So I did ask them if it were a vacant house and anyone standing before the door had the right to sign for this parcel, and they say, yeah, that's all they need to do. Just drop it off.
Yep.
I'm not comfortable with that kind of.
Well, yeah, the problem is that the address is wrong and they don't have to investigate, you know, the identity of the person who signed.
Plus, there's no name on the package.
Well, there was a name, probably his name, right?
Yeah, Yes, my name was on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Your name, but the wrong address. Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
They missed it by one number. It was just, it went opposite my house.
What was it worth? How much? Come on, tell us.
It was worth about, on the envelope, $750, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, can I tell you that, while it's unfortunate, and I'm shedding a tear here for you, it's probably not worth pursuing for $750. It'll cost you more in time, money, and aggravation. Now, if you added a couple zeros to that, maybe, but then, you know, if you add, then, you know, I might even be interested in pursuing it, but $750, no, that's not going to get you. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh.
215-263-1003. We were talking about discrimination in the workplace. CP, have you ever been subject to discrimination in the workplace?
Only when I work for you, Dean.
Well, there you go. You know, you got to keep your facial hair shaved. I don't allow people with scrubby facial hair to work for me. You and Kyle would be out with that little... what was that cartoon? The one with Scooby-Doo. That's it. That's Shaggy. That's it. Kyle looks like Shaggy. Darker version of Shaggy, but just as shaggy as Shaggy was. 215-263-1003. We'll get you here, and we'll give it our best shot. Let's talk to William from Chester. Good morning, William, and welcome to Court Radio.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. What's your question?
I really had two questions that was going to be very brief. Well, let me ask you the first question.
William, yes. You know, here at Court Radio, we don't have a lot of rules, but we do have one rule. And it's, I don't want to get you caught up in it because we haven't talked about this rule in a while. And so I want you to be forewarned, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
One question only. When a caller occasionally asks that second question, all the caller hears after that is the dial tone. So I don't want you to be listening and then wondering, what did Dean do? What did Dean do? All right, so go ahead, William. Ask your most important question first.
Well, my most important question, I had a situation with my daughter's mother in a custody situation. And I've been going through this for 3 years, and my daughter's mother tried to say that she called CYS, tried to say that I touched my daughter inappropriately, and I got my lawyer involved, and it's coming to find out that nothing happened. So what do I do next to file type of charges for false or discrimination of my name or anything like that?
Probably nothing. I mean, if no charges were ever brought, if this was an allegation by your ex and the system did not bring any charges against you as a result of that, then you probably would not get them interested, them being the authorities, in filing charges against your ex for a false report. Because it would probably be too easy for her to say, you know, I didn't file a false report. I based it on what the child said, or I based it, you know, and it's going to keep perpetuating this problem. And the authorities usually in these instances would say, hey, this is a dispute between two folks who are got a problem with one another, and we're not going to get in the middle of it.
Well, sometimes what they'll do is, I mean, they depending on the age of the child, they'll speak to the child to check out some other things, and then they could rule that it was unfounded, which means that no charges will be brought against you, and that's usually the end of it.
Right, but that's not the end of it for William because he's angry and he wants to, you know.
Well, that's right. That's a different story. However, in that case, you should then be able to get your child back or visitation reinstated. Or
I assume that has happened, William?
Not yet. My lawyer said we're going to file for court in the middle of August.
There you go.
Because it's so backed up.
Right.
So I just wanted to know, as far as the criminal charges,
you know, honestly, I don't think that would be in your best interest right now. You're trying to get custody or visitation or a combination with your child, and the custody officer hearing that you and the ex are still in the middle of a bitter dispute over this prior issue.
I have custody. I have legal joint custody. but they just came in and took her away.
Right. So you need to get that reinstated, and I think that's what you need to have your focus on, and let this other problem go by the wayside at this point. But it, you know, it doesn't completely go by the wayside because she made a false accusation or an accusation that they didn't pursue, and so it shows that you're fine, you haven't done anything wrong, and she might be, they might start to think that she's using the system inappropriately to try to gain an advantage over you. That's not going to be very good for her when it comes time for you to seek additional custody. So I think right now you kind of have the upper hand, right. And I'd leave it like that. You know, go the high road, William, and just go get your daughter. Is it your daughter?
Yeah,
just go get your daughter back and leave this other thing to be, and I think you'll benefit greater by doing that. Thanks for calling Court Radio. What was that?
Okay, because the craziest thing about it was when they called me, the first thing they said, you know, a CYS and everything, and I said, well, what's wrong with my child? They said, well, someone claimed that you touched her inappropriately, and I said, who's someone? They can't tell me because of the safety of the person. So the first thing that popped in my head, I said, did anybody take her to the hospital since there's some type of allegations? Maybe it's somebody on that side that's doing something. But they waited 3 weeks to take her to the doctors. I said, that don't even make sense.
Yeah, well,
why would you wait 3 weeks?
Obviously,
you hear something like that, I'm rushing to the hospital no matter what was said.
Yeah, obviously it wasn't a real serious allegation, which is a reason why it hasn't gone any further than that, just an allegation. William, thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
All right, thanks.
215-263-1003. Let's go back to Shannon. Hey, Shannon.
Hello.
Hi. We're back. How are you?
Sleepy.
Yeah, I bet you are. Well, we're going to let you go, but we want to just get any final thoughts of that you might have on what folks need to do when this problem arises.
Absolutely. If you're having a problem, say something about it. Write down the details. Say something about it, preferably in writing, so that you have documentation. And you absolutely have a right to file a complaint if you're facing discrimination in the workplace.
Let me ask you a question. How many cases does your department get involved in on an annual basis?
Employment discrimination cases, we get somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 cases filed every year.
Wow.
Most of what we do is employment discrimination, but also other areas. For example, your caller that just called about a public agency possibly not serving him well, you know, if that's based on his sex or race, et cetera, that could be discrimination. That's called public accommodations discrimination.
That doesn't happen too often.
It does. It does. We do get a lot of allegations, but not nearly the number that we get about employment discrimination. A public accommodation would also be, you know, a business. Am I being served differently or not served or refused service or whatever because of one of those protected factors?
Right. I see that happening. I'm sure taxis fail to stop for certain people. Restaurants give preferential treatment to a certain class of people. Those are the types of cases you handle. But 3,000 employment cases, how many of those come out of the Philadelphia area?
It's like 60 a week, you know. It sounds like a lot.
You know, I don't have that in front of me. That is a great question. You can certainly find that in our annual reports online.
There you go.
We have discrimination cases filed by county. And then what type of discrimination? And interestingly, sex discrimination runs about 17-18% of our cases every year.
What's the biggest percentage, do you know?
Well, you know, there are several that are sort of running close. Race and color discrimination is about 20%, a little more than 20%, and that's been consistent. Retaliation is climbing and has been, it's just under 20%. People are starting to understand that they cannot be retaliated against, that employer can't hold absolute power over them. And then, you know, disability is actually just behind that, and then sex, and then age,
huh.
And on down.
There you go. All right, folks. Well, if you feel like you may be the subject of discrimination in the workplace, you can check out the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission online. If you Google them, you'll find some very long, obscure address. but all you'll need to do is click on a link if you Google the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. And we want to thank Shannon Powers, their director of communications, for coming on Court Radio today. Thanks, Shannon, and have a great Sunday today.
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right. Be well. Whoop. Thanks, Kyle. There you go. Yeah, she was saying goodbye, and she... Zip, zip, zip. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio where we're talking about your legal issues. Let's talk to Reggie from Northeast Philly. Yo, Reggie, welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you. How you guys doing this morning?
CP, you can...
Sounds good, Reg. How you doing?
I'm good. Question I have for you guys, Social Security. My wife is receiving Social Security benefits, and I have to go back to the compensation because my wife received a settlement from workers' compensation, and once she started receiving her Social Security benefits, we were told since my wife received the settlement, she would not get full benefits because of the settlement from workers' compensation. We waited. That settlement was done in 2009, and we was told 2013, which was a four-year wait, that my wife would be increased to her full benefits. But now that she's set to receive full benefits, we received paperwork stating that it's basically, it seemed like we're starting over. They need information as far as medical records and things of that nature. And it seems to me, since my wife is set to receive an increase, they seem like they're finding a reason to try to state that my wife, if anything has changed, now the benefits would cease. Is something going on there?
Well, you know, they're allowed to review her disability or the basis upon which she's receiving benefits on a regular basis. 4 years doesn't seem out of the ordinary. Is there a connection? Maybe. I mean, that, you know, there might be a connection, but as long as her disability remains what it was when she received benefits originally or worse, I think it's just a matter of putting a dot over the I and a T across in the T. You know, I mean, I don't fear that she's going to lose her benefits. If she got them 4 years ago and she's still suffering with the same disabilities, she should be fine. And now she's 4 years older. And frankly, it's my experience is that as you get older, it becomes an easier hurdle to get Social Security benefits. The older you get, the closer you get to getting Social Security anyway, the more likely they will be to give you the disability benefits.
Right. Now, Dean, the question I also have is, when my wife received the benefits, when we were told she was going to receive partial benefits based on the settlement, I didn't know that benefits was going to be subtracted from receiving a settlement from workers' comp. I didn't understand that in the beginning. And
right.
He gave his explanation, but I didn't see the correlation between the two. Why should she not receive full benefits if she received a settlement for workers' comp?
Yeah, because it would be like double dipping. You know, Social Security is the venue of last resort. You know, for folks who don't have any other place to go. If she's still getting workers' comp, it's like she's still employed for that period of time that she's getting the workers' comp benefits. So they take that, they prepay those workers' comp benefits. That's all that is. So when you make a settlement with workers' comp, it's not like you're getting money for pain and suffering or you're getting money for the injury. What you're getting money for is your future wage loss. And they pay you up front for your future wage loss, and Social Security just spreads that out as if you were getting workers' comp on the regular as opposed to getting it up front. And a lot of folks don't understand that. You're in good company, but I guess you do now. And now she's going to move back into Social Security, I would assume. And if for some reason Social Security were not to recognize her disability, then obviously you know you have the right of appeal, and
right.
You should get in touch with legal counsel and be represented in that process. Where my experience again is that a lot of people get... Now, I'm not going to say that this is going to happen to your wife because she's already on, but a lot of people who first file for Social Security get denied Social Security benefits, and then subsequently they get attorneys, they have representation, and they get the benefits that they were originally denied and back paid for that period of time where they were still under investigation.
Right. Well, we were good because when we first applied for the benefits, my wife, as you stated, the majority of the people get turned down, but my wife didn't get turned down. So yeah, that was good for us because it went right through. When I say right through, she didn't get denied. So that was good in that sense, but it was just curious to me at that time when we were told, oh, based on your settlement from workman's comp, your benefits are going to be decreased or partial benefits, and then when you get this full benefits, now all of a sudden this comes up. And I understand what you just said because we did get paperwork stating that they can review the case at any time. So,
yep.
I just wanted to make sure everything was going smoothly.
Yes, but again, if for some reason something goes wrong, you know who to call, 215. Oh. Mm-hmm. 227-2727. My Philly lawyer will be there for you when the need arises.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Hey, CP, let's talk to Bill from Philly who's got a job discrimination issue. Just we're on topic here. Yo, Bill, what's up? And welcome to Court Radio.
Hello?
Hello, Bill?
Hello?
Hello, Bill?
Hello?
Go ahead, Bill. We can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Wait, Bill, that was like the jaws of life. I mean, CP just pumped you right back up again. All right, go ahead.
Okay. I was passed up for promotion, and I may be dismissed from my employment because I have Parkinson's disease. But my question is, a lot of my fellow coworkers make fun of my Parkinson's disease, and they do it out in the open where everyone can see and hear. I'm wondering, What if any legal action can I take?
Well, there is a protected class for those who suffer with disability, and it sounds to me like you would fit that bill, and so you should probably contact the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, and as Shannon Power said, who was just on the line, and she said it's important that you tell your employer. In writing, make notes and tell your employer in writing by email or letter what's going on and give them an opportunity to correct the problem. And so if that hasn't been done, you could take those steps, but also you could begin an investigation with the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. If you just Google that on your computer, Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, you'll come up with their web address and you can begin the process of opening a claim with them.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill, for listening to Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 215-263-1003. We are almost out of time. Charles Murarkey, I want to thank you for, you were really good today. You know, I wanted to hear you're warming up to this job.
I'll get there.
I know. And with Bill, I don't know. He was lost in the weeds, and you just sort of you gave him the paddles of life. Yeah, you smacked him right back up to breathing again. All right, well, folks, I want to thank you for listening to Court Radio. We're here every Sunday for your listening entertainment and your legal questions. But coming up next is my buddy E. Stephen Collins and Philly Speaks right after this break.
If your child suffered a birth injury, you know what matters. Getting proper medical care, counseling and assistance, knowing your rights, and getting just compensation to provide for your child's future matters. That's why your attorney matters. My Philly Lawyer is ready to fight relentlessly for you and your child. Call 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.